So the reading this morning is John chapter 10, verses 1 to 21. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Verily I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?"
Well, you'll have guessed that we're touching on hearing God this morning, but yesterday morning I was lying in bed, and there's a robin that comes and sings in the tree just outside our bedroom window, and I was just sort of sitting in bed thinking, "Lord, that's just so lovely to hear," because there's also a wren, and I find the wren's song gets a bit irritating, but the robin I do. Now I like wrens, but the robin I love. And As I was thanking God for that, I sensed him saying, "I sing over you." He sings over his people. I can't remember where the verse is, but it talks about God singing over us. I think it's Lamentations or something. Zephaniah, there you are. That's right. The Lord your God is with you. Zephaniah. The Lord rejoices over you with singing. So take heart, however you're feeling today, the Lord is rejoicing over you because you're one of his flock. We are his flock. So we're looking this morning at John 10, verses 1 to 21. Margaret always reads so beautifully. But before we delve into that chapter, we need to see the link to chapter 9, where Jesus has just restored the sight of a man born blind. And this man was being questioned by the Jews, who on hearing his account took him to the spiritual leaders, known as the Pharisees. And the Pharisees weren't happy with the fact that this man had been healed by Jesus on a Sabbath. And so a deeper investigation begins and Jesus is questioned. And I was thinking about this man, blind from birth, in darkness, all his life, sort of fumbling around, trying to find his way. And how mind-blowing it must have been to suddenly be able to see, to even see his parents. He'd never seen his parents. And how he must have been, just exploding with joy, because he had literally moved from darkness to light. But not just physically, spiritually as well, because at the end of chapter 9, it ends with Jesus asking him if he believes in the Son of Man, with the man replying, "Lord, I believe." And we believe. But still, the Pharisees just couldn't see through the red tape. Their vision was focused on rules and laws, and they weren't comfortable with what Jesus had done. He was stepping out of that safety net of theirs. And they were spiritually blind, but they thought they were fine. They were supposed to be shepherds to Israel, to care, protect, and nourish the people. But instead, they had rejected the man who'd been healed and refused to accept that God had actually healed him. Jesus could see that they were more interested in power and recognition than the well-being of those under their care. And scripture uses so many metaphors and pictures to describe God's people. We're referred to as a temple, a garden, a vineyard, or a flock of sheep. So as we look into this chapter 10, it opens with Jesus, still with the same audience of Jews and Pharisees, but he talks in a way that people could understand more easily, and that was about the shepherd and his flock. Shepherds care so well for their flock. We had a shepherd in our village, and so we could see the sheep in the field behind us, and it's hard work. It's hard work. And the sheep are very valuable to them. They're worth a lot of money. But I'm sure we've all seen a lonely sheep on a hillside because they've got left behind or they've wandered off. And they are incredibly defenseless. If you think about it, they've got four small legs, a big body, and a lot of fur. But having Googled more information on them, apparently they have really good hearing. And they know the voice of their shepherd. They can differentiate between their shepherd and another shepherd and will only go to the voice they recognize. I think that's incredible. And when they do get separated, the shepherd will go searching for them, obviously, and bring them back. And something that just struck me just now is, I don't know, is there anyone medical here? I think I've heard that hearing is the last sense to go in death. Now, isn't that wonderful of God to give that, to leave hearing so that no matter what happens, God can speak to them or he can send people to speak to them? I just marvel at that. I think that's wonderful. Anyway, back to the shepherds. So if the sheep that had wandered off was harmed, the shepherds would put oil on their wounds and make sure that they were safe and whole. And doesn't that explain why Jesus uses that picture of him being our good shepherd? How often Do we, his people, his flock, get distracted by things and lose sight of what God is wanting us to do? Just as a sheep recognizes its shepherd's voice, as long as it's in hearing range, we too need to keep close to our good shepherd so that we can hear his voice. What we understand about God ultimately will colour how we relate to him. Do we see him as a loving shepherd? Or do we see him as a harsh, unloving God? Is he a gentle or angry guide? Do we believe he speaks into our lives? And how does he speak? How do we listen? I think Adrian's been peeping at what I've done this morning, actually, because he talked about listening and hearing. And I think there's a difference in passive hearing and active listening. Passive listening is a bit chilled and not engaged, but active hearing is expectant. You're ready to go. You're ready to act on what you hear. Hearing uses our ears. Listening uses our minds. We need to use active listening when we meet with God. We need to come to him expecting to hear. He promises he'll speak to us. We need, in this day and age, to just slow down and be still, and that's something I find really hard. In fact, I'm sure many of us can say that God speaks to us in the night, because that's when we're really still. Certainly he does for me. And we need to be alert, don't we? And be open to what he says, even if it means he's correcting us. We need to be discerning to what we hear. Does it line up with the word of God? And we need to be respectful and humble. This is our creator God. We need to stand in awe. We need to give time to be certain that we've heard from God and make sure there is clarity in the details. So we need to go back to the word, check it out. If it doesn't ring true, talk to somebody who's perhaps more mature, or just voice it with other Christians. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Eastern shepherds apparently don't drive their sheep, they lead them. And it's the same for our good shepherd, isn't it? He doesn't push us, he leads and we follow. Sometimes he has to give us a prod with the rod, but he doesn't push. Are we following? Are we listening to his voice? Are we allowing him to lead us even when it's hard? And perhaps some of us feel he's leading us up a narrow, steep mountain and we're feeling really tired and a bit discouraged. Know that your shepherd is going before you and he will sustain you. The shepherd only takes his sheep to where there's better pasture because he knows what's ahead. And Jesus knows what's ahead for each one of us. In every trial we go through, he's with us, he's walking with us. Sometimes the track can seem endless when we're walking up a mountain, but when you get to the top, the view, the panoramic view is breathtaking. And it's the same for if you've gone through a really hard trial and you get to the top, there's a time where you can just look back or look down and see actually what God has been doing through that trial. He's been working things out. He's been changing us. And his timing is perfect, even when it doesn't feel it's going to end. We just need to keep listening to him and following him. He'll tell us when to stop and rest. And when that happens, he'll provide just what's needed to keep us going. And with the Good Shepherd, we're never alone, and there's nothing too big for God to handle. In verse 7, Jesus uses a different illustration for his audience because they still don't quite get it. He says, I am the gate for the sheep. And anyone not using the gate is a thief and a robber. That's a warning for the flock. Many things will try to rob us, and we need to stay safe with Jesus, our protector. At night, when the gate is shut, all the sheep are gathered together and safe from harm. And at day, when it's open, the sheep can go in and out. The gate and the shepherd seem to work in unison. The shepherd would lie across the entrance to prevent thieves coming in. And Jesus warned us in Matthew's gospel, didn't he? A picture of being aware of wolves in sheep's clothing. In these days, I think we need to be very careful and very alert to what's going on around us spiritually. In verse 10, Jesus says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but that he came that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is still speaking to his opponents. The whole conversation stems from the Pharisees criticizing the healing of the man born blind on the Sabbath and creating doubt and confusion for those who were witnessing these things. Jesus shows the depth and length that he, as a good shepherd, will go to for his sheep. He would lay down his life for the sheep. He won't abandon them. He will defend them with his own life. Nobody took Jesus's life. He offered it willingly. He's freely given his life for me. He's freely given it for you. What a saviour. And what a wonderful friend. So do we know we have life in all its fullness in Jesus? It doesn't mean riches or success, but hope of eternity, hope of a future, and fresh purpose and focus. It's a life worth living. It can be tough, but it's a life worth living. Adrian read Psalm 23 at the start, and I wanted to read that now, because obviously it ties in with Jesus being the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Is your soul feeling battered and bruised, your mind and your emotions? If you come to him, he will restore our mind and emotions. Do you need to know the way ahead? He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Do you feel you're walking through a dark valley? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've just realized I've missed a page out, which is a great shame. Somehow, I thought it was a bit short. I wanted to share something that happened recently to my sister-in-law. Sorry, I'm slightly going to have to go off piece. It's about listening. She came to stay with us recently, and she has had an accident. In that they were working in the garden and a branch flicked back and didn't just hit her face, a twig actually went into her ear and burst her eardrum. And it's been very uncomfortable, as you can imagine, for her. She's having to put drops in it. I'm so annoyed I've lost that page. Um, And she's been putting drops in it for that wound to heal. And I was talking to her about it, and I said, well, are you completely deaf in that ear? And she said, yes, I am. And it leaves me feeling really disconnected. And the reason I wanted, which is why I'm so annoyed I haven't got it, is that isn't that a bit like us? We get wounded, don't we? We get wounds. And if we don't have that wound healed, we can feel disconnected from God. Because that wound can damage the way we hear him. He's the only one who can heal these wounds, but we need to come to him as our good shepherd and ask him to heal those wounds. And that can take a long time. Her hearing still isn't back 6 weeks on, but that eardrum is beginning to heal, but it's been a long, tough time for her. So if you've got wounds, if you're carrying wounds, you know, we're a flock, we're a family. We can share things with each other in confidence. And if there's a wound that anyone feels they have, there are people here who can pray with you. And the Lord will heal those wounds. Or just come to him, bring him your wounds, and he will hear them. And you'll find you can hear more clearly. So this morning, what's he saying to you? Are you struggling with wounds? Do you need his comfort? Are you afraid? Let's let the Good Shepherd tend to our needs now. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that you are the Good Shepherd and that you do tend to our wounds. You do walk with us through the difficult times. You stay with us. You don't abandon us. You protect us. You go before us. You are just constant, Lord. You gave your life for us, that we would have life. And we just thank you for that, that you willingly did that. I pray, Lord, this morning that we would go from here with fresh listening ears, open ears, to hear you speak to us, to hear you prompt us to go to perhaps people who are wounded and needing help and support. But thank you, Lord, that you do go before us and behind us, and you walk beside us. In Jesus' name, amen.